are listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. You will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival sermons from great preachers of the past. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his likeness and after his own image. And he named this first son Seth. And on down the line, you find the generation of Adam, the sons of Adam. And all the days of Adam, the first man, were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And then Seth lived in a certain number of years, and he died. And on down the line, seventh from Adam is a man named Enoch in verse 21. And Enoch lived 605 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 365 years. Enoch, all his days were 365 years. And then in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And the son of Enoch, who was Methuselah, lived 180 years and seven, and begat Lamech. And then Methuselah lived to be the oldest man recorded in the Bible, 969 years, and he died. But the seventh man from Adam is Enoch in verse 21, 22, 23, and 24. And I want to think about him for a moment tonight. Seven in Bible numerology is the number of perfection. And it's rather significant that this man, whom God took and raptured out of the earth, was the seventh man, the perfect number from the first man, Adam, created in the image of God and placed in the earthly paradise called Eden. Now, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah and other children, no doubt, as well. And then Enoch's life is characterized by the fact that he walked with God. It says that in verse 22. It says that also in verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. Now, that implies a great deal of things about this seventh man from Adam. And I'll deal with some of those things in a moment. Enoch walked with God. And we're told that he walked with God 365 days, and then he was not, because that is 365 years, and he was not because God took him. Now, I recognize that all Scripture primarily has an interpretation. We're aware of that fact. I think the interpretation of verses 23 and 24 is a reference to, a symbol of, the rapture, when the Lord God shall come again and snatch out the living in Christ in the twinkling of an eye, as he did Elijah in the chariot of fire, and as one day he shall in our rapture, when he comes the second time, will be lifted out of the grave, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught together with them to meet Jesus in clouds, and we shall be was not. Somebody said the boys, the first boys went up, who were called astronauts, that preceding them by many millenniums was a man who was not. The astronauts and the was not. Enoch was not, because God took him and he vanished and left this earth planet without dying. Only two people ever got out of this earth planet without dying, and Enoch is one of these, and the other is Elijah, who was translated that he should not see death and went to heaven in a chariot of fire. Every other person died. When you read Genesis chapter number 5, the sons of Adam, you'll find that in the case of every one of them, though some of them lived 900 years and more than 900 years, the Bible says as it closes out their life, much like you'd close the book, and he died, and he died. And that's repeated over and over again in this genealogy of the lives of the sons of Adam, with the exception of one, the seventh man. There's no record that the seventh man ever died. The perfect man never dies. And the seventh man could not have died, because he's a type and a symbol of those who will not see death, but who will be raptured out at the second advent of our Lord, and also a type and a symbol of those who, having died, will come out of the grave in the resurrection at the second coming of our Lord. Now, I think basically that will be the interpretation of this record of Enoch back here in Genesis chapter number 5. But I want to use it not with the interpretation necessarily, but rather with the application. Any scripture can be applied only after the interpretation has been set forth. And I've done that. So tonight I'd like to apply the scripture to our everyday experience, our everyday life. your life and my life as we journey for the Lord. Well, might it be said about each of us, as it said about Enoch, twice, not once, but two times, and he walked with God. There are three tremendous things in verse number 24. Number one, Enoch walked with God. Number two, and he was not. Number three, why? Because God took him. Now, those three things are the 3 points of the sermon that I'd love to deal with in this moment about Enoch, given the application of this tremendous experience. Enoch walked with God. The potential is yours. The potential is mine. Any man that so desires can do that. I remind you that there are certain things that will hinder your walking with God. I suppose the most common hindrance would be Seth, and certainly Satan, and surely sin, and the world, and the demons, and the appetites for the things of the world, and the clamor to be received and enjoyed by all the things of the world. These things hinder our walking with the Lord. I'm sure that it's the will of God and the plan of God that you and I walk with God. That to me, that's not in the realm of the mystical. That neither is in the realm of the impossibility. I think it's very practical and real possible that a man walk with God. Not in the literal sense. I've never taken the hand of God literally in my hand. And I've never heard the word of God literally upon my eardrums. And I've never felt the breath of God literally upon my shoulder. But I've sensed the divine presence of God many, many times in my sojourn. And in that degree, I can walk with God, having not seen him, having not heard him, having not felt him. But nonetheless, I can walk with God. Now, to be assured, there are many things in the world that would hinder that. The devil, for example, would rather I not come to church on Sunday night. I'm so glad you're here. This is a wonderful crowd, and I appreciate all of you, each of you in this building, the balcony downstairs, and the choir and the nurseries. I appreciate every one of you in this building. Now, the devil would have been thrilled had you and I put our feet on the banister and said, let the preacher get along the best way he can. Let the deacons handle it the best way they can. Let the church get along the best way they can. I don't bother. I shall not bother to go to church tonight. Now, that's what the devil would like. But you don't have to obey the devil. And evidently, you didn't. You're in your place. You're filling the hedge. You're filling the gap and building the hedge. You're obedient to the Lord. And the evidence of that is your presence in the house of God at the appointed time of worship. Many other things are an evidence of the fact that sometimes men do not walk with God, sad to say. Sometimes men are selfish, and they're so self-centered until they think only about satisfying their own desires and satisfying their own appetites. And they have no time to satisfy God or please God by service, of obedience, because all their time is devoted to satisfying self. Now, you wouldn't say that man's walking with God, not by any means. Then I think of the many of the missionaries, some I've mentioned a moment ago, scattered about the earth, serving God in regions beyond, under most difficult circumstances, sometimes under dangerous circumstances. They're walking with God. They have no fellowship of a congregation as me and you enjoy now. They have no good trio to sing, as we heard this one sing a moment ago. Wonder what Brother David Edens would think tonight if he could have heard that trio and seen them as we did a moment ago. Wonder what Margaret Stringer would feel if the trio could transplant themselves over in a far off New Guinea tonight and stand and sing 4 stanzas for Margaret and have the organ, have the piano to accompany, and then have an amen corner to say amen. Margaret said by herself tonight, and David is there with he and his wife and the little child by themselves in far off Africa. And on, I could cite another dozen of our missionaries who are walking with God at great cost and great sacrifice and sometimes at great danger. And yet they desire to walk with God. Not every man does, but I remind you, every man could walk with God. And Enoch walked with God. Now, how can I walk with God? Number one, you can't walk with God until you know God. And when he becomes your heavenly father and you become his holy son, born of the Spirit of God, then you're qualified to walk with God, all things being equal. And you can walk with God and fall in step with God after you've been born again. Then after having been born again, you can walk with God by meditating in his word. And I don't know of any better way to walk with God than to keep my mind stayed upon the Lord. The Bible says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Sometimes your mind will wander. And if the devil can sidetrack your thinking and sidetrack your mind, be assured that he's going to do that. But if we'll draw our mind in from the world and draw our mind in from Seth and concentrate our mind upon the written word of God and meditate upon thus saith the Lord. This is one way that we can walk with God in this pilgrimage. Then again, we can walk with God by daily and constant prayer upon our knees. I believe that a man is closer to God upon his knees than at any other time in all of this sojourn. There is nothing in the world that will so knock on heaven's door and gain an entrance in the presence of Almighty God as a bended knee and a praying saint. This will arrest the attention of God and command the ear of the Almighty, and God will hear the prayer of a dedicated saint upon their knees. This is one way we can walk with God. Years ago, we had a boy, and he's in this building now, working on this building. We were building down in the annex building, I believe it was. We got in the building under construction, and one day I was there, maybe it was on the elementary building, one of the buildings, and this boy had torn his overall leg, and I happened to pass by, and his knee was torn out, the cloth was torn away, and I looked at his knee, and there was a callus on his knee as large as my hand, and I'm not exaggerating. There was a callus on that boy's praying knee as big as my hand. And when I saw that callus, I walked over to him, and I pulled the torn overall leg apart, and I put my hand on that callous knee, that rough knee, and I said, God bless you. You've been praying, and you just didn't start yesterday. You've been doing this a long time. A callous on his knee, yet as big as my hand. Now, that man's walked with God. He's in this building now and heard me tell that, and he might remember that little experience when I looked at that callous on his knee. Some of the others of you have calluses on your praying knee. From much bending before the Lord, from much lifting of your prayers unto God. This is one way that we can walk with God. And then again, we can walk with God by the fullness of the Spirit, by allowing the Spirit to come in our bodies, to possess us and to fill us and to empower us. And not only that, but to bless us as well and to make the Lord real to our heart. That song that we heard a moment ago, Made Heaven Real to Me. Brother Melvin's song, Made Heaven Real to Me. I like to get in the hearing of a good gospel song that makes heaven come down low and lifts me up high. I like to hear a preacher that'll make heaven real to me, have the cross real to me, and old-time religion real to me. And through those methods, I can walk with God in this life. Wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. You mean in this wicked and perverse generation with drinking and dissipation and cussing and ungodliness and cheating and lying and adultery and nakedness and all the Hollywood perversion and the perniciousness in sex and so on. You mean to tell me that in this kind of a wicked and perverse generation that men can walk with God as did Enoch? I believe with all my heart that it's in the realm of the potential that a man can walk with God tonight. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if ever three Hebrews had every disadvantage in the catalog, they had it. If there was ever a believer who was discouraged in all the degree of discouragement, it must have been Daniel and his three Hebrew companions. And yet those four Hebrew lads, under adverse circumstances, purposed in their soul that they were not going to defile themselves. And though they lived in a pagan, heathen land that was not conducive to the religion of the Hebrews, yet we're going to serve God. And they did. And they so walked with God until the fire couldn't burn them. They so walked with God until God said the fourth man will have to go and stand in that flame and fan the heat out of it. They so walked with God until God miraculously delivered them. They so walked with God until God immortalized them by placing their names in the canon of the Bible. If ever a man had a disadvantage, those four Hebrew lads had a disadvantage in it. They walked with God. And I wouldn't say that my disadvantage is greater than theirs. I think if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could travail, I think I can. And if I'm not walking with God, I shall not blame you. And I shall not blame any other person. I shall not blame my family nor my wife. And I shall not blame the church. If I'm not walking with God, I shall blame no one but myself. I know the disadvantages no more than others have faced. And if I'm not successful in walking with God, then why blame somebody else? Blame yourself. I say it's possible for a man to walk with God. And Enoch walked with God. Not one time is that declared, but two times is clearly stated. Enoch walked with God. Don't you imagine there was many people that discouraged him? Don't you imagine some said, Enoch, we are hearing some whispering about you. We heard somebody whisper the other day that you're becoming over religious. Don't you imagine somebody said, Enoch, it's been talked around that you'll become a fundamentalist. Don't you imagine somebody says, Enoch, if you keep on walking that narrow way, you may have a frustrated mind and you'll wind up a neurotic. You better broaden out, Enoch, or you'll have a nervous cracker. Don't you guess somebody might have suggested that? But old Enoch paid no mind to that. He kept on walking with God. And I'd recommend you do the same. Pay no attention to that. You keep on walking with God. At any cost, walk with God. At any sacrifice, walk with God. With any battle, walk with God. Though the demons may beset you, walk with God. Though self may seek to discourage you, and self shall, walk with God. Though the world may entice you, walk with God. And Enoch walked with God, and you can walk with God. It's a sad spectacle in my life, and I hesitate to mention the negative when I have so many positive things that I could glory in and make mention out from the pulpit. But it's a sad spectacle to me when I find one throwing the towel in of our members, giving up the fight, going down in humiliation and compromise and defeat. That's sad. That breaks me, and it hurts me. Sometimes I think before I die, I'm going to preach a sermon on the negative part of the ministry. Some things that break the heart of a preacher. And it's not all mountain. It's not all jubilation. It's not all joy. Most of it is jubilation. And most of it is joy. And most of it is delight. I wouldn't have my life any other way. But there's some disappointments in the way. And this is one of the most terrible disappointments I've ever faced. Is when one of those dropped by the wayside. Who could very easily, like Enoch, walk. If they determined to do so. But rather than press on in the fight, they fall by the wayside and lose the victory. God forbid. And Enoch walked with God. Now there's the potential for you and I. Now note the second thing. It says Enoch walked with God and was not. Now that's as natural and normal as the second step as anything can be. When a man walks with God, he ceases to exist. God is so great. The fellowship of God is so powerful. And the joy of God is so out of the world. And the things of the world become so insignificant. And worldly applause and pleasure fades into the background. It becomes dimmed so greatly when men walk with God until, like Enoch, they become was not. And Enoch was not. Now I'm bold to say to you that if you are not was not, it's because you're not walking with God. If Seth is alive, you're not walking with God. If Seth has the upper hand, I'm bold to say you're not walking with God. And Enoch walked with God and was not. There's no way in the world for a man to walk with God and at the same time allow Seth to have preeminence. No way in the world. No way. Could you imagine Moses for a moment who said, Lord, I want to see your face. And God said, Moses, you cannot see my face. No man has ever seen my face. A man couldn't endure the glory, the Shekinah glory of the Almighty. And Moses, if I granted your petition, you'd die. You'd be consumed by my glory. But Moses said, I want to see your face. And God said, all right, I'll tuck you in the cleft of the rock and I'll pass by and turn my hind apart to you. And then I'll cloak you and veil you in the cleft of that rock and allow you to see the back of my head and the hinder part of my body. You can't look in my face and survive, but I'll let you see my hinder part. And so Moses was cleft in the rock, sheltered in the rock, and God passed by and turned his back to Moses and the back part of his head to Moses, and Moses saw the hinder part of the Almighty, and it was so tremendous until when God passed by, he awakened to the fact that he was blind. Brother nearly killed him. He was not. He was blind. And he tried to walk out of the cave and walked into the wall. He couldn't see how to get out of the cave. And they had to take him by the hand. His companions had to take Moses by his hand and lead him back to the camp. He was blind as he could be, having only seen the hinder part of the glory of the Almighty. And when he got back to the camp, they discovered that everybody that looked in turn upon the face of Moses was stricken also totally blind. Moses' soul reflected and radiated the glory of God until other people were stricken blind when they looked upon the face of Moses. And all Moses had seen was the hinder part of the Almighty. Now, in a real sense, Moses was not. I mean, he was not. And there wasn't any way in the world that Moses could see any of God's glory and then glory himself and then magnify himself. No. When the more of God you know, and the more of God's companionship you enjoy, and the more of God's glory you behold, the smaller you become until you get to where you was not. I mean, you're nothing. And a man that glories, or a man that has an ego, a man that's proud and arrogant and self-exalted, does not walk with God. Put it down. He doesn't walk with God. Men that walk with God was not. You couldn't be any other way. Yes, sir. If you think yourself to be something, you're nothing. He that will exalt himself shall be abased, but he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The way up in God's economy is down. And a man that'll glory doesn't walk with God, but a man that walks with God shall not glory. And the more you walk with God, the less you recognize self. And the more you see yourself as undone and undesirable and undependable and nothing. We're nothing. We're that. We're that in God's eyes, a zero. We're nothing. And you learn that when you walk with God. If you think I'm something, you're really nothing. And you're not walking with God at all. And Enoch walked with God and was not. Can you imagine a man receiving a blessing and then glorying in that blessing? Can you imagine Moses going back to the camp and said, oh, boys, you ought to have had what I had a while ago. No, I don't think Moses talked about that experience much. And if he ever talked about it much, he gave God all the praise for having seen the hinder part of God. You think Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego gloried about that fourth man in the fire furnace? Once they got out of the fire furnace, there's no record. Those boys ever talked about that anymore. That was so great and so tremendous and so out of the world and so spectacular and so miraculous. If they ever talked about it, there's no record in the Bible they did. They kept it quiet. They didn't glory about it. Somebody get a little blessing these days, you crow about it and promote it and write it down, recommend it, tell people how to do it, put it in a book so you can have it the same way. Look what I've had. You can have it also. People that have great experiences with God are so wise not until they don't write about it. You can't tell it. You can't explain it. Old Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven. And he said, tell you the truth, I don't know how to tell it. Words fail me. He said, I saw things that's not worthy of my words. And I can't describe it in my words. And I dare not talk about what I saw when God caught me up and gave me that great revelation. And Paul didn't. When I get to heaven, I'm going to stop him on Hallelujah Boulevard and say, Paul, if you don't mind, sit down now and tell me what happened in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I'd like to hear it. I read just a brief touch of it in the New Testament. Paul mentioned the fact that he had the experience, but I don't have the remotest idea what kind of experience it was. He said, it's so great until it's not lawful for me to talk about it. When a man walks with God, he was not. I get a little bit afraid of people that can tell you how. I get a little bit afraid of people that say, look what we've done. This is what we have achieved. And this is what our goals are. And this is what can be done. And this is what you ought to be doing. I get a little bit afraid of that. Well, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And about all he ever saw about that, told about that experience was the low and the go. Lo, I am with you. Go and tell the story. And that's about all Isaiah ever said about that great experience of having seen God high and lifted up. What am I saying? I'm saying that when a man walks with God, the second natural step, he was not. You just become nothing, a zero. And walking with God is so great, and the glory of God is so great until you dare not try to put yourself in that. How in the world could you put yourself in the story of God's glory to begin with? How in the world can you put yourself in contact with the Almighty? How'd you join up with the Almighty? Oh, my soul, you and I stand off amazed at the glory of God and the might of God. And it's so tremendous until words fail me, I can't tell you the glory of the Almighty, you see. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. And when you walk with God, you'll be was not too. Self will die. The applause of man will die. Earthly pride will die. The things of the world will die. Great ambitions will die. You know, many a man could walk with God if he didn't have too much ambition. He wants to get ahead. He wants to get ahead in society. He wants to get ahead in politics. He wants to get ahead in business. He wants to get ahead in the church where he's pastoring, or get ahead in the work that he's doing, whether on the mission field or some other kind of Christian work. He wants to get ahead. His ambitions are too big. Well, why get ahead? Why not just walk with God? Let God push you along. Let God move you along. If God pushes you on, amen. If God doesn't put you on, amen. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. And so it is with every one of us that walk with God. We become was not in our experiences. We become a zero. We're absolutely nothing. And he must have the preeminence. God forbid that I glory except I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's said in 2 Philippians, surely, in no uncertain terms. And Enoch walked with God and was not. But there's a third thing in my text. For God took him. And he said, now, Brother Harold, you don't really believe that. I gave you the interpretation a while ago. I certainly do believe it. I sure do. As far as I'm concerned, you couldn't get anything else out of verses 21, 22, 23, and 24. Except God took it. I don't know how it happened. I wasn't there when it happened. And the Bible didn't tell me how it happened. The Bible gives me a little bit more detail as to how it happened with Elijah. He talked about a chariot of fire. And that chariot swung down and carried Elijah to heaven in a flame of glory. We know a little bit more about Elijah. And his coat fell off of him, fell back to the earth. And Elisha, the young prophet, went back and picked it up. But you don't have that in the record about Enoch. It just says, and for God took him. He was not. God took him. How God took him, the Bible doesn't say. Old Dr. Lakin says that he was walking with God, and they walked all day long until the shades of night began to fall. And God said, Enoch, you've been walking with me so long, and you're so far away from home. Just come on and spend the night with me. And so Enoch said, I believe I will. And he went on to heaven, spent the night with God, and found out there's no night there. It's one eternal day. And so he's still with the Lord. Yeah. Now, I don't know whether that's the way it happened or not. Somebody else said Enoch started walking down the highway, and he put one foot down, and he found that it lacked about 4 inches reaching the ground. And he put the second foot down, and it was 6 inches on the ground. He put the next foot down, and it was 12 inches on the ground. And so he kept on walking until he was out of sight in glory with the Lord. Now, I don't know whether that happened or not. The Bible doesn't say. In the case of Elijah, it was a chariot of fire. In the case of Enoch, the curtain rings down. He just was not. I don't know how it happened. But I believe it happened. For God took him. God took him. The Lord could take him various ways. God could speak the word and defy the law of gravity. And old Enoch just rise through the sky. Well, he'd have to be translated because he couldn't go through the atmosphere unless he had a glorified body. You get so many hundred feet up, you couldn't breathe in a body like we've got. So the Lord had to not only take him out, but he had to give him a glorified body to bring him through. So somewhere about 100 feet or 200 feet up, God translated him from terrestrial to celestial, from mortal to immortal, from corruption to incorruption. In the twinkling of an eye, like you and I at the rapture, Enoch got translated about 200 feet in the air, and then he could go through all the other feet above and not having a difficulty surviving. He became a real astronaut. The first was not became an astronaut. And he walked on the clouds right up in the glory, you see. And God took him and carried him into heaven. You know, that tells me something about heaven. We sometimes talk about a man in heaven with the nail prints in his hand. And that's Jesus. We talk about a man in heaven with the riven side, and that's Jesus. After Jesus came out of the grave, he said to his disciples, have you anything to eat? And they said, we've got broil, fish, and bread. And the Lord said, I'd have some. And he sat down and ate broil, fish, and bread. That man's in heaven right now. His name is Jesus. But you know, Enoch's in heaven also. That's right. Enoch's in heaven with a glorified body. And Elijah's in heaven. Neither of these men ever died. They both went to heaven, translated. They were not resurrected. They never died. You'll not find the body of Elijah, nor will you find the body of Enoch. Well, now, Brother Harold, I just can't believe that. Well, if you believe the Bible, you'll believe that. Because that's what the Bible says. He was not, for God took him. And he went to heaven without dying. So I take it that there are at least three, and I believe many more, but at least three people in heaven right now with a body celestial, the Lord and Enoch and Elijah. And every once in a while, they may get together and say, let's have fish and bread. I don't know whether the other spirits can eat fish and bread or not, but the Lord did after he was resurrected. And Enoch and Elijah ate fish and bread. In fact, Elijah was very fond of hamburger and bread. Bread and meat, the Bible calls it there, when he was fed by the ravens. And he was very fond of that. So there might be three people in heaven that not only eat fish and bread, but hamburger and bread, or beef burger and bread, one or the other. There they are in heaven with glorified bodies. Can you imagine what all the spirits in heaven say every time they look at Elijah? They say, just wait, spirit, just wait, so one day you'll be like Elijah. And you'll be up here, well, you can eat fish and bread too. And every time a soul looks at Enoch, that soul says, someday I'll be that way. Every time a saint looks at Jesus, they say, one day I'll be like him with a glorified body. And they will, they will, they will, you will, I will someday be like Jesus with a glorified body. Now they're in heaven. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took it. Now I want to apply that third thing. God can only take that which was not. Now you see the application immediately. God cannot use an individual until he becomes a was not. God will not take a man who is not a was not. Only those who are an Elijah, only those who are an Enoch can be translated to heaven. And only they can be used of God in this pilgrimage. And Enoch walked with God, and walking with God, he was not. And becoming was not, God took him. And God will never take you and put you in useful ministry and useful service until you become a was not. When you die to self, that's when you become a candidate for God to take you and to mold you and to make you and to use you to his glory. As long as you're alive, God can't use you. But when you come to the end of self and say, Lord God, wherever thou leadest, I'll go. And whatever you will, I'll obey. Speak, thy servant heareth. Command, thy servant shall obey. And sincerely mean that, that's when you become a was not. And that's when God will take you and mold you and make you and use you to God's glory. God will not take a dirty vessel. God will not take an unsanctified vessel. God cannot take a vessel unyielded. But when a vessel becomes emptied, and when a vessel becomes sanctified, and when a vessel becomes yielded to the Lord, emptied and yielded to the Lord, then God can take that vessel. And God will take that vessel and use it. Only when you become empty, only when self dies, only when your ambition dies and the will of God becomes paramount and foremost in your life, can God take you. There may be well in this building tonight a missionary personnel known in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. And already God has knocked upon your heart's door. And the only reason you have not yielded to say, Lord, I'll go, is because you was not. You have not become was not. You're still alive. The moment you become was not, God will take you and send you to that place of ministry, wherever it may be, and sustain you and keep you and bless you and prosper you and reward you in eternity. There could well be somebody in this building with some of the foreordained ministry that God ordained that you perform in this sojourn. And God is anxious you to step forward and say, I'll be the volunteer. I'll become the was not. Lead me and direct me. I'll be the was not. And when you become the was not, God will take you and set before you an open door that no man can close. Amen. God does that. You know, the Lord doesn't have to have a straight stick. He can use a crooked stick and draw a straight line. God doesn't have to have a good reed. He can take a broken reed and sound a good testimony. God doesn't have to have an intelligent genius. God can take the average one of us and use us to his glory. What God needs more than brains is a man whose will is broken and who becomes a was not. What God needs more than a beautiful woman is a woman. What God needs more than a handsome man is a man. What God needs more than an educated man or woman is a man. Just a man who will become a was not. And when you become a was not, God will take you and mold you and make you and set you up and push you out and use you to God's glory. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. In my experience down through the years, I've seen some men, and I've talked to Brother Aiken about it time and again, some of the other faculty members in our Bible college. I've seen God take some men that I didn't have any hope of any prospect for. And I've seen God mold those men and use those men and make out of those men a vessel meet for the master's use. We had a long, lanky, homely country boy come to our Bible college. Now, I'm not calling the names. If I were, Brother Aiken would know him immediately. Brother Bartman and some of the teachers would know him immediately, and I'll not do that. But he came to our school back, six, 7 years ago or more. And when I taught him the first year, I didn't have any hopes. I figured he'd never last for the 3 years at Tabernacle. And I heard one or two of the other professors, maybe Brother Aiken, might have suggested the same thing. Didn't have much hope. He didn't have much potential, at least we thought that he had little potential. But we discovered soon that he had a stick ability. And I had to commend him for that. And he stayed with it, graduated, became a missionary. He's on the field right now, so far as I know. A few months ago, I received a letter from an MD from another country. And he discovered that doctor in some other land, and I'm not naming the land because I don't want to impersonate the missionary that I'm talking about. But that MD wrote to me a personal letter. And he said, I've discovered that this man is a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville. And that he's one of the missionaries that you all support. He said, I want you to know that this is one of the finest and most dependable and one of the best missionaries that we've ever had in our country. And he was a native MD, not an American missionary. He was a native MD. This is one of the finest men that we've ever had in this country, doing one of the best works and one of the most dependable, one of the soundest and most viable ministries in this country in my lifetime. And I read that letter, Brother Aiken read that letter, and I was dumbfounded and amazed that God could take that crooked stick and draw a straight line, that broken reed, and cause an MD to write back and say he's the finest missionary I ever saw. God doesn't have to have brains, he needs a man. He doesn't have to have money, he just needs a man. He doesn't necessarily have to have an education, just needs a man. And Enoch walked with God and was not. And when he became was not, God took him. And God will take you when you become was not. But as long as you are, you disqualify yourself. As long as you're alive, you disqualify yourself. As long as Seth is preeminent, you've disqualified yourself. Become a was not, and God will take you and use you to the glory and honor of God. Amen. There's your application. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Would to God everybody in this building tonight would purpose and resolve in your soul, I shall walk with God. The devil will hinder me. The world will call me. The sins of the world will entice me. The people of the world will threaten me and intimidate me. But I shall walk with God like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I shall walk with God like Elijah. I shall walk with God like Enoch. At any cost, at any sacrifice, I shall walk with God. And when you do, you become a was not. And now the door is about to open for a beautiful horizon and a glorious life in the center of God's will and a gracious climax when God will set you up and no man can put you down.
Thank you for listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. To listen to many more powerful sermons, visit our website, PreachTheBible.org. If you enjoy Christian music and programming, visit knvbc.com for Christian music you can trust.